the weekly cringe for Michigan fans is me playing the fight song as we start the interview with the MSU insider for 24/7 Sports. His name is Stephen Brooks, and he joins us now on the phone line. Good morning, Stephen. How are you doing?
Good morning. No, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, as always.
Well, we've had some interesting conversations up to this point, and none are as complicated or, you know, as physical and controversial as this one. I guess we have to start where the game ended on Saturday with Michigan State. What was, I guess, the feeling in the media room and sort of the frenzy of the press, as one might say?
Yeah, I think there was just sort of a scrambling, sort of what the heck just happened type of feeling. So the reporters over there had to go down the tunnel where everything happened, of course. To get to the post game interview room and everything, and so I got down there well after, probably a full cycle, through the elevators, walking around the building, down later. Then the guys who got the video that everybody's seen now, so they were just sort of waiting for the team to come in and waiting for everything to happen, and obviously all that unfolded right in front of them, so I didn't see it live. Peyton Thorne came in and did his press conference, left, and he was asked about what happened in the tunnel, and I was like, oh, what was that about? I didn't even know what the question was referring to. I didn't have my laptop with me down there, so I was like, what was that reporter even talking about? And then between Peyton Thorne and Mel Tucker's press conferences is when I was looking over the shoulder and seeing some of these tunnel videos, and guys were talking about what they saw. And everybody's just trying to put everything together and just sort of, oh, my gosh, did that just happen? And is this real? And just rewatching the video. And every time you rewatched, there was some sort of new detail that you had missed the first time. And then Mel Tucker came into the room, and then he said, he had no information on it yet, and you could see later he came in way after the fact up the tunnel. So at that point, he said he knew little to nothing, and then it was just, it was just sort of a scrambling, uncertain type of feeling of, like, what the heck happened? And then the more players came in, then they got out of there. So it was a unique one for sure. I think I might have mentioned it with you guys. I know I mentioned it on other shows. I mean, this rivalry, weird stuff happens, when you're trying to talk about it. I mean that between the lines of the field, obviously. But this year, obviously, it bled over to beyond that. So, and then every day since, there's been a new development or a new angle or a new statement, a new suspension, this or that. So it's continuing to unfold in sort of layers here.
I talked about this briefly earlier in our show. For me, this is really, whatever percentage you want to blame, in the blame pie, if you will. For me, this is the first where, I'm going to blame Mel Tucker. Like, this is the one black eye on Mel Tucker's coaching tenure at Michigan State, because ultimately it comes back on the coach for the players' actions. If the uniforms were flipped, everyone would be blaming Jim Harbaugh. I think, this is, for me, the first time I've really said, all right, this has to be on Mel Tucker, at least partially. Has that sort of been the feeling over there with the reaction to this?
I think there's every reaction in the book. I mean, every reaction on the spectrum that you can imagine, I think I've seen. I mean, look, there's people that it's much like everything inside, I mean, you're on one team and your team can't do any wrong and the other team does everything wrong, I mean, I've seen people try to say that it's the guy's fault for skipping up the tunnel and he got what he deserved. I've seen people say it's the tunnel's fault and that there should be different procedures over there for post-game. Of course, people are saying, this is a disgrace and the players, it should be punished as appropriate and everything. So I've kind of seen a little bit of everything. I mean, I've even heard and seen people that are blaming Jim Harbaugh for fostering a culture of this or that that leads to that sort of engagement and everything. So it's all over the board. But I do think the predominant thing is a feeling of embarrassment if you're a Michigan State fan or alumni or close to the program, whatever. I do think that's sort of that's pretty universal across the board, even if you want to get into the little arguments of who's more at fault or who's most or what started it and this or that. Like, I think everyone can agree for the most part at the end of the day that it was a bad look and that it's embarrassing if you're Michigan State, for sure.
And Steve and I was at the game down on the field. As the teams went into halftime, you talk about the process. It was evident that they stood in front, the officials and even some of the event staff stood in front of the Michigan football team and would not let them go up the tunnel at halftime until Michigan State had ample time to get up to their locker room. I think after the Penn State game, that was a step that maybe the Big Ten and Michigan decided they were going to take to try to head off any incidents. It's a little more difficult maybe for that to happen after the game. I think sometimes, you saw guys on the team that from the different teams from Michigan and Michigan State talking to one another. I mean, they may have played high school ball together. They may have been, recruited, attended some of the same camps kind of thing. So you do see relationships between players on both sides, especially in this rivalry when it's two teams from the state.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you don't want to get rid of that. I just think, there probably should be something in place, mm-hmm. Where one team fully goes up the tunnel and then the next team does, especially at least this game maybe. I don't know if it has to be every week. I don't know if Hawaii and Colorado State are really going to start anything. But the emotionally charged games, because there's been problems with Penn State. There's been mm-hmm. problems with Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Now there's been problems with Michigan State in there. So I don't think it would be that hard to just say, let's get all of the visitors all the way up the tunnel. And then hold everybody else out of it, and then let Michigan go up the tunnel and let it be that. So, yeah, I don't think that would be that hard to implement. That probably should have been in place before, but I also don't understand, I don't really side with the people that blame Mick Burrows or the other Jermon Green for being up in the tunnel. Like, it mm-hmm. is their stadium. They can go in the locker room if they want. That's just because you walk up that tunnel and there's players from another team doesn't guarantee that you're going to get a whooping out of it,
right.
I mean, that's not, I don't buy that either. Of course, again, you can put parameters in place to prevent, anything from hopefully even sparking, but I don't necessarily blame them, like, oh, what'd you put yourself in there for? You knew that was going to happen. Like, no, of course that there's a potential for that to happen, but just because they walked up there doesn't just guarantee, hey guys, I'm looking for it here. Who wants to smack me around a little bit?
Right,
so,
right.
I think there's been some, like I said, it's like everything else. It's partisan. It's just like politics. It's just like anything else. Everyone's on their side. They're dug in. And I think there's sort of been some ridiculous reactions to it all.
Yeah, I think you're right. Talking with Stephen Brooks with 24/7, like, I could build the argument from Michigan's side, and then you could build the argument from Michigan State's side. And I think both, have compelling arguments for both, but they don't defend the action at all. Of those Michigan State players and the fallout from it. We're up to 8 players suspended. Is that right, Steven?
Correct. Yeah, they did 4 on the Sunday, and then I think it was, 4 on Sunday and then 4 again yesterday.
State's has been in a tough spot all season for the football team. Like, what does this mean moving forward? Like, Mel's trying to establish a culture there. It's hard to do that when you lose. I understand that. But, now you got 8 guys suspended. What's this last week been like for the football team?
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's a big test. It's a new test, I guess I should say, for Mel Tucker and this staff and just this tenure. Last year he could do no wrong. He was basically walking on water with this fan base and got, rewarded for it greatly and all that. And then through the offseason, through the summer, the shirts, the photos, the slogans, the social media stuff. Mel Tucker, I used to joke over the summer, like, he was challenging Tom Izzo, as the most popular guy in East Lansing. And it's really, really hard to do. Now, there's been on-the-field struggles. There's now off-the-field struggles. And it sort of reminds me of, Mark D'Antonio had this fairly early in his tenure, too, with that Rather Hall incident where a bunch of guys got in trouble with a fight in a dorm room. And, you know, he was put under the spotlight for how he was going to handle that. That was sort of his first sort of big moment. And people had their thoughts on how he handled it, and I think that'll be the same thing with Mel Tucker here. On the field, there were really only two of those guys, maybe three, are major impacts. Jacoby Winman, of course, is a big one. Angelo Gross is a notable one. I mean, he's a three-year starter. I don't think, you know, I think people can say what you want about how he's played, but he's played a lot of football, knows what he's doing back there. And then Zion Young, the freshman defensive end, I think is a pretty notable loss. He's been playing pretty well too, as well. Just the cumulative effect of losing him and Tank Brown and Brandon Wright. Now you're down three defensive ends at a position that wasn't very strong, that was already kind of banged up. So yeah, there's a lot of pressure on Mel Tucker, I think, to do and say the right things, to try to squeeze whatever he can out of whoever he's got left. Coming out of that game, the rallying cry was just going to be make a bowl game, and just sort of salvage the season that way. With these losses, I mean, they're not the most impactful player. Like I said, on the whole, there's really only a handful, but it's enough that, you know, they're weakened now as they go down this final stretch. I don't know how long the suspensions will last. I think the legal system will have, you know, will play into that, and for some guys and some not. And, you know, if that's all, you know, part of it. So, it's all very interesting now. Like I said, there is still a push to make a bowl game. It is still possible. That's really the only way they can salvage this season. And if they do, it'll be a pretty good, inspiring, I think, coaching job by Mel Tucker and his guys to pull that off, because that would mean, you know, wins at one of Illinois or Penn State if they are able to get to bowl eligibility. And that looks like a tall task right now.
Well, and that was going to be my next question, Stephen, is, you know, looking at Illinois this week on the road, you know, obviously a big challenge for a shorthanded Spartan team that's already struggling, you know, to find wins in their schedule this year. What is optimistically, you know, a projection on where they're at after these next four games?
I do think that if they can get these guys back, I think they can win the three necessary. I don't. There's. You really can't convince me they're gonna win out in November.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, you know, maybe it's whether it's Penn State at the end of the year and they're a little distracted or something. With a couple of losses, and they can put it all together, get their guys back by the end of the year, and run off those last three. I don't see this weekend going very well for them. I mean, Illinois is number one nationally in scoring defense, number one nationally in rushing total defense, I should say. And on the other side, they have the number one leading rusher individual in the country in Chase Brown. So there's not a lot of reason to like Michigan State at all this weekend, other than if they have some sort of circle the wagons, you know, us against the world moment, you know, and maybe we've seen crazier things happen.
Sure.
But that's what it would have to be, I think. And then, you know, from there, but if they lose this one at Illinois, you are looking at three must wins to close out the season. And I don't think if they can get their guys back, I don't think they're completely outmatched. I mean, look, they should be Indiana and Rutgers. Those should be wins. They're more talented than those teams. But can they go to Penn State and put it all together with their backs against the wall in the last game of the season, maybe some adverse weather out there, and really, show what they're all about? There were some times in the Mark Antonio era that he was, you know, that more than the trophy games, the rivalry games, the bowl games, that he was very, very proud of. I think in 2012, they went out to Minnesota and fought for a bowl game. I mean, they were 5-16. They had nothing really to, you know, nothing too sparkly to play for, but just pride in making it to a bowl game. Went out there in the cold and some snow and beat Minnesota and just showed that they really wanted to keep playing that season. And that was something that D'Antonio would always circle back to. And there was a couple moments like that. And maybe this team will have one of those too, you know, where they sort of, you know, pull it all together at the end and prove that they still want to be a part of this season and play that 13th game there. But we'll have to see. And it's not easy, you know, when you game it out, like you said.
All right. I need to transition real quick. Can you give us a 60-second reaction to Michigan State men's basketball, their exhibition win last night against Grand Valley?
Yeah, a little sleepy to start at first. I mean, they were down at halftime, 4, 5, 6 points. I forget exactly what it was. Tom Izzo said he sort of tested them to see who would read the scouting report, who would really dig into it and respect Grand Valley, and who wouldn't. He said his team failed that. So I think that's a little alarming because it's a team that's short on numbers and quite honestly, I mean, short on high-end talent. I think they should know better that they can't really overlook anybody. You know, I don't care what they thought they did to Tennessee in their closed-door scrimmage. Mati Sissoko, their starting center, had some promising moments. I think that's encouraging. Still a lot he has to prove. And then elsewhere, you know, I'm just curious to see how the pieces all fit together. It's a hard team to judge right now without Jaden Akins, who will be one of their starting guards. And, you know, the domino effect that he has in playing Tyson Walker on and off the ball. Walker played primarily off the ball last night and was really aggressive and productive scoring. So a fascinating team. I got to see how it all comes together, and still some major, major question marks, I think, at some big positions.
All right, Michigan State opens their season next Monday. Northern Arizona at home, and then four straight ranked opponents for Michigan State. We look forward to the coverage from Stephen Brooks. He's with 24/7 Sports. He's been joining us on Inside the Cave. Stephen, thank you as always, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, great. Sounds good, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks again. And there you have it. Stephen Brooks with 24/7 Sports here inside the cave.